It's feeling cold outside. In fact, I'm still frozen. We chat those four goals, why wildcards are for more than just 1 week. Plus, we have a wider chat about how to play the premiums and also make our selections from Spurs. And breathe. Hello. It's finally Thursday. It's FPL pod time. And this is a podcast intro that I, Kelly Summers, have been thinking about for five very, very long days, because it's been five long days since, yes, I'll say it out loud, Cole Palmer scored four goals. And if you haven't seen social media, yes, I really did stick with the transfer made on this very pod. I did remove him from my wildcard draft upon the advice of my friends. And then on Saturday, I was sitting in a studio able to watch each and every single goal that he scored whilst being live on television myself. So yeah, it was hideous watching it. I regret it, etc., etc. But the reason I wanted to start the pod with this is because I know that Julian Laurent had sheep noises ready to play into this podcast. Wasn't going to let me get away with it. Oi, I'm still speaking you.
Sorry.
What I wanted to say was it was hideous watching it. I feel sick. I was full of regret. I still feel a bit sick. But as the week went on, I've actually kind of enjoyed the fact that I made that decision. Don't get me wrong, not for my FPL team. My FPL team is in a world of pain, and we'll come on to that very shortly. But I have literally had thousands of messages from the moment he scored that first goal. I had messages, I've looked, from around the world, India, Australia, I had someone in Singapore, of course, in England. And from so many people I actually know, I'm not going to say their names, but my England producer messaged me, a press officer from a football club messaged me. So yes, although it was horrible, people rubbing it in, and thank you very much for all the gifts and everything else and all the jokes. Do you know what? It actually made it so much better. And it reminded me, not only, I'm looking at you, Sam and Jules, did I finish above you last year, Sam? Jules, I finished above you every single year apart from last year. So this is a harsh reminder to myself that maybe sometimes I don't need to be, Jules, you can do the sheep noise now if you want. Sheep FC. Maybe sometimes I should kind of have some conviction in my decisions. But also, I feel like I was quite representative of the FPL community last week. So many of us had wild cards that didn't work. And so many of us regretted not having Cole Palmer and maybe took him out because we all wanted Arsenal players. And what I really loved about last week was the fact that it binded so many of us together. So many of us were all in one boat. So thank you to every single person who sent me a message last week. You genuinely made one of the worst decisions I've ever made, probably in my life, not only in FPL, a lot better. And I wanted to remind you guys at home, please listen to us, listen to Sam, sometimes listen to Jules. Their advice still stands. Play back what they said to me this time last week, and it is still very valid advice. But trust your gut. Please let me be a lesson to all of you to trust your gut. And a massive thank you to every single listener that's listened to this podcast. Even people listen back to it on Monday and Tuesday to hear about this disaster. So thank you so much. I'm very proud of the community we've created. And I'm very, very proud that hopefully I've done something for our listeners, because my FPL team is in tatters. You lot are wonderful. Sam and Jules, I'm ready to forgive you now. And that is all I've got to say. I've been speaking for about 2 minutes, but I had to get it off my chest. Morning, guys. I've forgiven you, and I'm not sending you to an FPL dungeon, which is what someone on social media did suggest for you, Sam.
A dungeon? That's a bit mean. But to be fair, we told you to get Mbomo, and it's not like he did badly. It's just you couldn't have predicted Cole Palmer was going to get four goals in 1 week. Like, Brighton actually have been quite good this season, and then they were without a lot of players. The Highline Cup just was a nightmare against them. Yeah, sorry, cows. But, you know, we did give you some good advice as well.
You don't need to be sorry. And this is the thing, people were saying, are you annoyed with Sam Jules? Don't get me wrong, I messaged you both straight away. I was like, I hate you both. And there's a part of me that really does hate you. But I actually hate myself more because this is what FPL is about, isn't it? And I just feel like last week was a real harsh lesson to so many of us to not always be sheep. A lot of people on wildcards were, just followed the grain. And I know why we do it. And we do all listen to all of the wonderful content creators out there. But FPL is fun because we take punts. As I said the other week, we need to be a bit Sam. We need to make the sensible decisions, look at the stats. We all need to be a bit more Jules. Cole Palmer was my Jules decision last week and I didn't go with it. And I'm the one left on a very low score. Jules, I mean, morning.
Good morning.
We've already heard
I'm
from
not,
you
I'm
as a
not
sheep.
Really sorry. I'm not really sorry, you know, but I am a bit sorry still for you.
No, you don't need to be sorry. It's fine. It's, like I said, in solidarity with all of the wildcarders, there's a lot of people are actually worse off than me, believe it or not.
And I just wanted to say, Kels, that since Saturday and Cole Palmer's quadruple, everywhere I've been for work, Premier League, Champions League, everywhere, radio, TV, podcast, everywhere, at least one person came up to me and talked to me about your wildcard, Cole Palmer, that we took you out almost, because that's what, you know, we gave you advice, but you just listened to the advice. So even on my side, there was a lot of people rooting for you.
It's actually the reason I wanted to start with that. It's actually been so humbling and so lovely to have so many people. People said as soon as they started seeing him scoring, they thought of us. People were literally messaging me constantly. That's why I had to tweet and be like, guys, I didn't keep him. Please stop tweeting me. I didn't keep him. But it was all in very, very good humour. And for the few people that were like, oh my God, only idiots would take him out. Come on, as Sam said, no one saw that coming. Nah. If we all saw it coming, we'd have all moved heaven and earth to bring him in. We'd have taken minus 20 points to bring him in and captain him.
Kels, anyway. 279,000 people sold him last week.
Thank you for looking that up for me. I appreciate that.
She made that up. That's not true, but it's just to make you feel better.
It's actually 27.
He was the 14th most sold player last week. And that doesn't include the people that were wildcarding, who obviously, well, it does if they took him out originally, but you didn't have him. You bought him in and took him out. So there will be plenty of people
like
that did that.
Out. Like, yeah, exactly. Like, I really feel for everyone listening to this podcast, because Cole Palmer to Bukayo Saka, I imagine, was a popular move, wasn't it?
Hugely, right? So for you, it was a frustration because when your first wildcard draft, you had him in and then you decided to take him out. But there were a lot of wildcarders who had him in their original teams and then sold him. But there were also a lot of managers who sold either Salah or Palmer last week to bring in Saka, which... In both cases, I mean, Salah was the fourth most sold last week. So when you consider the swings that there were this game week, anybody that wildcarded this week, a bit like when Jules wildcarded actually, and we had that like massively down week, this week it was the same. All the wildcard decisions that people were making ended up not going very well because the players that they brought in, Gabriel, Saliba, the Arsenal double up at the back, Saka in the middle, who was doing actually okay on just bonus points alone until he lost them. More on that. I'm going to rant from me about that later, but never mind. And all of those players that you were expecting to do well last week just didn't. And the ones that you sold on wildcard in order to bring in those players for the next few weeks went absolutely on a riot. And that is really difficult to stomach. So when you see a wildcard score this week, nearly everybody that wildcarded is down in the 30s at best.
Yeah, because I had Salah, Jota, Watkins, sold them all. But yeah, as Jules learnt, wildcard's not just for 1 week, is it, Jules?
It's not just for Christmas, that's right.
Nope. How's your team doing?
You know what, Kels, really, this weekend, it's so good when you bring in players and straight away they return. What, do you see what I mean? It's... You know, when you bring somebody in, you make a transfer
Jules, I had the worst week ever, it felt like. I got 38. But my sheep still got more than your first week on your wildcard. What was it, 32 on your first week of wildcard?
Something 34, maybe, something like that. How many did you get this
38
week?
38, at least.
Oh, okay, yeah. Mbomo and Havertz were my two transfers.
Good moves.
And it worked out well. 61 points. Again, it's a good week. Very strong midfield. 43 points coming just from the four players in midfield, Semenyo and Rodgers. Rodgers, we've talked a lot about him. Return two, and then Mo Salah was my captain. There was something I didn't feel about Haaland. Going back to your point about good feeling, which is a great point, which we make quite regularly on the show. I didn't have a good feeling about Haaland going away in Newcastle. I didn't feel that City would have a good game. And to be fair, they were quite flat. So to go for Salah, even if Salah should have had more even than the 10 points that he got, because he missed that massive chance on the bad Lemina back pass and stuff like that, it was still the right pick. And we talked before, earlier in the season, that my captain picks have been pretty bad. Not because I felt good making them and I didn't regret making them. But it's just that the guy I captained didn't work out compared to a Haaland or somebody else. So I was glad that this week, actually, the captain pick worked out well.
It was just a week of disasters in terms of going against my gut, because I didn't want to. I brought Dominic Calvert-Lewin in just because of budget reasons, and I benched Morgan Rodgers. I didn't want to do that. I made that decision at 10:58, lost Rodgers' points. I also didn't really want to captain Haaland, but I was on the fantasy show on Friday and everyone there was captaining Haaland, and I just followed again and I was like, although I don't like ever going against him, I bought in Saka to go with him. I mean, alas, Saka wouldn't have been any better, really. But yeah, it it was just a bad week. And I think a lot of people were guilty of that with transfers in all round. Sam, for you, 50 points. Are you pleased with that? You went with Saka as well.
Yeah, Captain Saka this week. I like Jules, just didn't fancy the lunchtime kickoff. I got up on Saturday morning, the armband was on Haaland, and I was driving down to Sky to do their show and was like, I really don't want to captain Haaland this week. And because I was doing the driving, I couldn't do anything about it until I got down there. And then as soon as I got out of the car, I changed it to Saka. And I was really pleased about that because obviously the lunchtime kickoff, it was horrific, like watching that game, because I was thinking any moment, like we know this season that Haaland doesn't need very many touches in order to be get a haul. And so every 5 minutes I was like, oh, I'm getting away with it. And by the end of it, it did feel like that. And then when Saka played, I was like, I don't understand what's happening here. Like the amount of chances he created, he was incredible in that game. Like his underlying stats were the best I've seen by anyone this season in that game. And so when he didn't return, but did get all three bonus points, I was like, well, I'll take that because that's still a 10-point return as my captain. And then on Sunday night, he lost two of the bonus points. And I was like, oh, that's really annoying because that turned my green arrow red. But actually, I had a disaster. Saturday was a complete disaster. I had Jota, but apart from that, everyone else was just dreadful. Going into Sunday, though, my four players I had absolutely saved me because I had Rodgers and Watkins in the Villa game. I had Porro and Solanke in the Spurs game. And so having those four massively helped. I think at one point on Saturday evening, my rank had slipped by like 1.5 million. So I think it was down at like 2.8 million or something.
I don't know what a rank is anymore. I've just decided to forget about ranks.
Well, so for now, like it's a tiny, tiny red arrow and I'll take it because I didn't have Palmer. I didn't have Salah. All the players that returned well, apart from, you know, Watkins and Rodgers, I just didn't have in my team. So I'll absolutely take the small red and move on from it because I still think my team's in quite a nice spot.
Okay, I'm just going to bring people up to speed with the players that did make it to my wild card because obviously the headline has been the
Scott Palmer
that didn't. No, and you know what? I was sitting there on Saturday and I was like, shall I just do Saka to Palmer and just be done with it so I've got him for next week? Obviously I didn't because I brought Saka in for longer term and I still remain that I want Saka longer term than Palmer. But maybe there is a conversation around Cole Palmer in terms of is he essential? But that wild card, you can't be knee-jerk. That's what we've learned. Jules, you learned that the other week as well. So what I did go with is obviously the whole Raya thing went down to the wire. There was people saying, is he at the team hotel? Isn't he? I just decided on Friday night and kind of early Saturday morning, just go with the draft because I'm not going to get into that. I was on a train going to Manchester. People saying, oh, he's at the team hotel. But even if he's at the team hotel, he could have been just supporting the team. Like, I just wanted to be set. So I decided not to go with Raya, which obviously in the end with the goals they conceded worked out, but probably would have liked him longer term. So I went with Flecken and the backup goalkeeper at Brentford, whose name I don't think I can pronounce. So I'm not going to. Valdemarsson, I can pronounce it. Back three this week of Alexander-Arnold, Gabriel, Lewis, already regretting Lewis, knew I would, was being sheep FC by bringing him in. Midfield of Mbeumo, Diaz, although I spoke about my reservations with him last week, and of course, felt like every other Liverpool attacker returned, Saka and Semenyo. Front three of Calvert-Lewin, Havertz and Haaland. And then I benched Rodgers, Mikalenko and Greaves. And if I was wildcarding this week, it would have looked very different to that, I think. But it's not for 1 week. I look at it for going forward and I'm still just about happy. I can't go back, can I? So is what it is. Moving on to next week. Oh, actually, no, we've got to do the Pod Mini League first. A reminder, the code is QC. I'm going to cheer up, I promise. The code is QC. Oh, I can't even stop laughing at me. I'm trying to read
I mean, it's just like 14 minutes in and you're all over the place. Is that Cole Palmer effect on you?
Like,
do you want me to do the
day
celebration? Does that make you feel better?
I'm delighted we're on YouTube for moments like this. Our producer Jesse put in our WhatsApp group yesterday. He always puts a reminder. He puts a reminder in about the pod, by the way, guys, because Jules normally forgets. And Jesse put, pod reminder, 9 a.m. tomorrow. And then sent in a gif of Cole Palmer, but Kelly's not coming. She's got a cold.
Cold.
Pod Mini League code Q7YCO, the letter 0, the number. A reminder that's the code. as I said. And at the top of the league, we have got a new leader. It's Maxim Turkoff. They scored 63 points this week, despite, like me, going with Luis Diaz, but they did captain him as well. Dwight McNeil, what a signing that could be in FPL. Palmer, Porro and Nico Jackson helping them to the top of the league. It was second place Callum Watson who made the biggest gains this week, though his team, Watson Wanderers, shot from 95th, wow, to second with an incredible 91 points this week. He must have had everyone that returned. And he didn't captain Palmer. He had Palmer, but he captained Mo Salah. Also had Solanke, Watkins and Bummo and Rodgers. He also didn't make the mistake of benching Robinson's clean sheet, which, Sam, you did.
And I did that.
Looks me too.
Disgusting.
Terrible. So annoyed about that.
Yeah.
Don't benching points is the thing that upsets me the most in FPL. And I was willing the clean sheet to go by the end of it. I was like, please lose it.
You're like, I've made half a good decision because I've kept him or I've got him in my team, but I've also made half a bad decision by not actually starting him.
100%. So. And I was there going, because, and Lee was like, have you got anyone that he can come off for? And I was like, no, the other four are all guaranteed to play. So he's not coming on. So I really want Fulham to concede. I've never wanted Fulham to concede so much in my entire life as I did then. And then on Sunday, it was made even worse by Liam Delap getting a brace, who I've been speaking about for weeks and haven't bought in. And I was like, oh, Liam, please. Like, why? Yeah, it was a lot of what ifs, I think, game week six. That's how it felt. It was the what if I'd done this, what if I'd done that game week. But
you're telling me. let's move on to game week seven then. But before we do that, let's talk about the action that we've seen in this midweek. It's so hard to keep across everything with FPL. We saw it last week with the Raya injury, missing out in midweek and then making it for the weekend. It leaves us with a lot more conundrums, doubts, question marks as to what we should do. So this week, the teams that have been in action, in case you've missed it, Liverpool, Arsenal, Manchester City and Villa in the Champions League. And we've also had Newcastle playing that delayed League Cup match as well. We're recording on Thursday morning. We've still got Manchester United and Spurs to come in the Europa League, whilst Chelsea are also playing in the Conference League as well. Jules, this is where you shine. Tell us what we need to know for FPL.
This is why you're here, Jim.
Yeah, that's why I'm here. We saw another goal for Kai Havertz and Arsenal and the fitness of Julian Timber. If you were thinking about bringing him into your team to double up in the defence for Arsenal, for example, or something like that, he came off with what looked maybe a bit of an injury or a niggle. It might be okay for the weekend against Southampton, but something to keep an eye on. Same with Calafiori as well, for example. Phil Foden, remember him? Well, he finally started a football match again with Manchester City away at Bratislava in the Champions League and did really well. Scored an assist. Haaland scored as well. He was a walk in the park. For City, Mo Salah was very good with Liverpool against Bologna, even if defensively they were a little bit shaky, and he scored again and also gave McAllister an assist. And by the way, it's another record for Mo. He became the African player with the most goals in Champions League. So well done to him. And the super sub, John Duran, of course, scoring a wonderful winner for Bologna. What a goal against Bayern. So it's one that maybe we don't have time too much to talk about today, but at some point, John Duran would come into conversation of like, could you even bring him into your team? I know he's just a super sub for Villa right now. He's not going to start at the weekend again, but he scores all the time. So, you know, to leave on your bench or as your third four, I don't know what you could do with John Duran, but he had another wonderful, magical night for Villa.
They were talking about it on commentary last night over here in the UK when they were saying that at some point it's going to become a bit, maybe potentially a problem for Unai Emery in terms of how long can you keep someone like that on the bench, but you can't not start Ollie Watkins. And the reason I bring this up on this podcast is Sam's an owner of Ollie Watkins, and Jules, is Ollie Watkins going to be looking over his shoulder? Can they play as a two? Can they both get in the team?
Yeah, I think the real question is, can they play together up front? I would think that if Unai Emery thought they could, he would have done it already now because John Duran is such in a great form that it would be crazy if you're Unai Emery and think, yeah, they can play together and we can make this work in a 4-4-2 formation, and you still don't do it. So there's another reason. He clearly likes Morgan Rodgers to play behind Watkins with Ramsey White on one hand and then McGinn or Bailey or whoever on the other side. I think it's impossible to bench Ollie Watkins and to start John Duran unless it's just to give him a bit of a rest. But even that, I don't see it coming so much. So for now, I think that John Duran will stay a super sub, but potentially in some games he could have his chance and maybe play for Watkins or with Watkins up front. But for our game, there's too much uncertainty there, I think, to bring John Duran in your squad.
Yeah, and surely he can't score every single week. Like, this run can't stay forever scoring for the game. Maybe it can, but... okay, then on to our big talking points for this week. And we're going to discuss the premiums because... Well, Cole Palmer's a premium, isn't he? And it proves that they're becoming a challenge this season.
It's cold this morning.
So cold. Someone disconnect this guy. Jeez. Yeah, the premiums are a challenge, aren't they? Because we were all talking about Mo Salah. Was he getting the points that we wanted? We all then wanted Bukayo Saka. Now we've got Cole Palmer. We all feel like we can't be without Erland. That's a combination of Erling Haaland, in case you're wondering. It feels like we're always chasing the upside with these. I don't really know how to... What's the answer, Sam? Is there an answer? Do you just have to go with a couple of them and just ride the highs and the lows like last week and just know that some weeks you're going to come out as winners, some weeks you're not, and just hope at the end of the season you come out with the highest scoring ones?
I think there's a couple of different strategies, isn't there? There's the I'm going to be loyal to the premiums I'm picking, and I'm going to say I'm going to have Haaland, I'm going to have Saka, I'm going to have whoever else it is, because you can probably have three depending upon the price point that you pick them at. I'm going to have them and I'm going to just stay loyal to them all season. And then by the end of the season, hopefully, given their price points, all of these players roughly score the same number of points. So that's one way of doing it. The other way of doing it is what we call upside chasing, where you basically swap your premiums around. So you look at the fixtures, you look at the form, and it's not just the form of the team, and the form of the player individually. You take both of those into account and you basically move the premiums around. Now, there's pros and cons to that, because if you hit them on the perfect week and you manage it correctly, the potential points return is massive, because
Well,
you have to be really lucky, first of all, but you also have to pay really close attention. And it's really hard this year because of budgets as well. You don't have the flexibility to move around quite so much, because particularly if you're talking about Salah and Haaland, you're moving positions as well. So you're having to maybe make additional substitutions. So you've got to take into account points hits and stuff like that. You do have to get lucky. And the reason I don't like to upside chase is because I feel like there's always more potential you're going to miss a haul than you're going to gain it. Because by moving players in and out, you have the potential, like this week we saw with Cole Palmer being swapped for Saka, you miss a haul and you don't. Now, next week, if you decide to swap them back again, which is what some people would then do, you've got the potential to miss it again on the other side. So upside chasing isn't for the weak FPL managers. Like, I can't do it.
Not me, definitely not me.
I can't do it either. It causes me too much stress. Like, I prefer to stay loyal, because I think by the end of the season, you then have, you're guaranteed to get the points for that player, unless of course they get injured and then you swap them for somebody else. But if they're fit and firing in their team, they're premium for a reason, because actually the teams they play for should be fixture proof. So it shouldn't be that you need to swap them out because they've got a horrible game against Manchester City. You should be able to play them in that week anyway. So for me, yes, I think you pick some premiums, and it might be that you swap them on wildcard and then you risk having this happen. But in the longer term, if you pick them for that block of fixtures, it should come good. Like, so the fact that you've gone with Saka, yes, it didn't work last week, but it really should over the rest, well, between now and Christmas, it really should pay off that you've got him in your team.
Thanks, Sam. I hope so. George, what's your strategy with them?
I mean, I think three is too difficult.
I gave you a very good draft on the pod last week.
Yeah, no, it's doable. I think it's doable. I find it difficult, but yeah, I think it's doable. But if you spend 15, 10, 10, that's already 35.
Well,
35,
done.
Yeah, because you couldn't, I know you couldn't, I could see in your eyes you couldn't work out. But 35 is already so much of your budget gone. So I think two and Trent, for example, two of the, you know, the attackers that we mentioned, Haaland, Salah, Palmer, Saka, Son, KDB, Foden, Watkins, who are really the premiums in the game if you add Trent as a defender. I think three, of course you can, but I would go for two. But Haaland, Salah and Palmer are by far the best, really. If you look at the first six game weeks, you know, the, in terms of points per game, in terms of points full stop, 65 for Haaland, 61 for Palmer, 59 for Salah. Okay, Palmer is a lot influenced by game week six, obviously, and what he did against Brighton.
And the game against Wolves.
Yeah, and the four assists. I mean, again, a player with four assists and four goals in the same season in two different games is bonkers if you think about it. And really, if I'd play my wild card for game week six, I would have put Palmer in. But anyway, that's another matter.
It's such a wind-up match, so cold, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just so cold this morning. I don't know what's going on. It's sunny in London, but I'm just a bit cold. Anyway, let's go back to my point, which was, I can't even
He's forgotten now.
Yeah.
Too busy winding you up. He's forgotten what he was going to say.
Haaland, yeah, because if you look at Bukayo Saka, for example, great in creativity, great assists, but only one goal this season. So I think there's Saka for the longer term works, and he would get better. He would score more goals. Arsenal, by the way, haven't had a penalty yet in the Premier League. So this will also come. And he would be on pens. So there's just a lot of yogurt feelings, I think, about premiums. But also, if you look at the fixture list coming up, for example, Haaland fixtures are great. We mentioned Arsenal's already by Sam. For Chelsea, it's going to be a bit more difficult. So if you think about Parma, for example, yeah, there's Forest this weekend, but after that, they will play Liverpool, they play Newcastle. So it will be a bit more difficult. I personally think that Haaland and then one of Palmer and Salah for now, is probably a way to go.
Okay. What about the likes of Son, KDB? Do they need to be in the conversation at some point, Sam? For the purpose of this podcast, we're kind of saying that premiums are above 9 million, aren't we? So I suppose we could potentially even put Foden and Watkins more into the conversation, mm-hmm. I suppose, than Foden at the moment, given his form.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I'm listening to what Jules is saying about only having two, and I think I sort of agree. But like in my team at the moment, if you count Trent, I've got four, because I've got Haaland and Saka, I've got Watkins, and I've got Trent. And it doesn't have a negative impact across the rest of my team, because I've still got the likes of Jota and Solanke, and I've still got the Arsenal defence. I mean, I've got Saliba rather than Gabriel, but I've still got one of the Arsenal defenders in there. I've still got Porro in my team. So I think it's doable. I think you just have to think carefully about how much of the budget you spend. So if you're having Haaland and Salah, you probably can't afford to have Palmer, Saka, Son. Like those three are probably out of the equation.
Salah is also like, Haaland and Salah are almost in their own bracket, aren't they? Because like you said last week, when you said something, I can't remember exactly the conversation because I haven't played the podcast back to myself, believe it or not. But when I was trying to justify Palmer, you were like, how? Why can't you go to Salah? I think Jules said or something. And I was like, but that 2 million is very different. And actually, the fact that Palmer and Saka are in the 10 million bracket means they're actually, if you can't get to Salah, it's actually almost easier to get to them, and they don't feel mm-hmm. like too much of a sacrifice in comparison to Salah.
Totally. I totally believe that. Like, so I think with the premiums, you have to make a decision between, you can have Haaland and Salah, and if you do that, you rule out every other premium in the game, because owning those two is too much.
Yeah.
If you are happy to just have one of them, to have either Haaland or Salah. Now, with the fixtures the way that they are for Man City and Liverpool, and given the form of the rest of the team, and we'll talk about the other attackers at Liverpool maybe a bit later on, but if you consider who you can choose at Man City if you don't have Haaland, and who you can choose at Liverpool if you don't have Salah, I think it's better to have Haaland right now. So if you go for Haaland, you can then pick somebody in that 10 million bracket, and you can have somebody in the 9 million bracket. But you can't do it if you have Haaland and Salah very easily, because the rest of your team becomes compromised. And that compromise is only coming now. It wasn't so much there, maybe in the first three or four game weeks of the season when Jules wildcard did, because we still didn't really have that mid-priced player that was really good. Whereas now what we've got is players like Solanke, Nico Jackson, maybe Semenyo, Rodgers, Porro, or one of the Spurs defenders potentially, the Arsenal defence. We didn't so much have them, like we must have, and Dembomo's in there as well, of course. We didn't have so many of those players that we kind of felt were essential in our teams, or we really needed to have. So you could afford to go for, you know, the Greaveses, the Harbour Bellises, the Delaps. You could afford to maybe even burn by having a non-playing forward in that third forward slot. Whereas now what I think we're seeing is that we've got a lot of mid-price players that are actually really attractive and playing really well, returning good points and with good fixtures. So because of that, you're having to make some bigger compromises with the premiums. And for me, that means not having Salah, because I want to keep Haaland and I want to keep somebody in that 10 bracket, because you're always going to have to, or you always want to move, don't you? There's always that, like, well, if I don't have a 10 million player, and then one of them goes on an absolute riot, which we could see from Saka with the fixtures that we have.
Jules is a
up
good example
Arsenal.
Of that, because Jules, you don't have Saka, do you?
No.
Yeah.
But you've got Havertz. And at the moment, I've got Havertz and Saka on my wild card. And I did that I did it because I needed a forward at that price point. Mm-hmm. It was actually quite a late decision. But I was like, actually, that then means that if I want to sell Saka to go to another premium, I've still got some Arsenal attacking cover in Havertz. Yeah. And also, likewise, if Havertz is actually going to start playing deeper, or if his position is going to change, or if he's just going to stop scoring, I think, what is he, 8.2 million or something like that?
Yep.
Then I can move to here. I would only have to do a little bit of surgery to maybe get him up to a Watkins, or I could put him down to a Dominic Solanke. Mm-hmm. So it's almost like covering these positions. And with Arsenal, with their good fixtures coming up, I've kind of covered both of those positions, and I've got two, and I can stay with two if I want, but I can also move around.
Yeah, it's one of the arts of FPL. It's
one of the good things I think I did do with my wildcard, by the way, guys.
It's a really important skill because you don't want to be taking massive points hits if you can avoid it. So if you have price point players everywhere in your team, you can move and you give yourself flexibility to go, okay, well, this team have had a little bit of a dip in form, whereas this team are now coming into a really nice fixture run. So rather than having this 10 million-ish player, I'm going to swap and I'm going to have this one instead. And then you keep them for a little bit of time. And I think that is one of the most important things. And with the rise of the players that are kind of priced from like 6 through to about 8, 8.5, there's loads of them now that are really firing and playing really, really well. So you're going to want to find space for them. And if you want to find space for them, you do have to make some compromises with the premiums, which is why I think you can do it if you don't have Haaland, Salah. Jules struggles because he's got both of them in his team and that locks a lot of other decisions out.
So which would you say are the best premiums to have then? And how have you... So Jules, my memory is awful at the moment. Jules, remind me the ones you said. Haaland...
So Haaland, Salah and Palmer are the three best players in the game so far in the season in terms
and
of points
would,
per game.
And if you were re-wildcarding now, you would get those three in and then build around it.
But then I think if you do that...
Oh, you said it's too much.
Yeah. It's like just Sam really nicely just explained. It's like it's the Salah that has to give out.
You can potentially try... It goes back to, doesn't it? I suppose you're covering... Have you got Jota still in your team?
No. So I've got Salah for the Liverpool attacker and I chose Nico Jackson instead of Cole Palmer, for example, to balance it. And like we always say, I keep repeating it, but it's who you replace this premium with. So if you can't go to Watkins for whatever reason, Rodgers could be a good replacement.
Yeah, so I went Rodgers because I couldn't get Watkins. It's kind of like just trying to cover it and realizing that you're probably not going to get quite the level of points, but you'll still have an in to those points.
Yeah, exactly. And sometimes if you look at the points tally, Havertz and Saka, for example, you're not missing much by not having Saka and having Havertz for just 10 million less, for example. The only one is Haaland, obviously, for obvious reasons, because there's not
no other
you've
city
got other options,
attackers.
But exactly. Yeah. You can go for Foden now that he seems to be back to full fitness, and I suspect his game time is going to go up and everything like that. But even him, you're not really sure what can come off him, really. Same with Doku or Grealish or Bernardo Silva or De Bruyne, I don't know, whoever you want from City. But for the others, if you look at every other premium and big teams, you could go Havertz instead of Saka, you could go Jota or Luis Diaz instead of Salah, you could go for Nico Jackson instead of Palmer, etc. Rodgers for Watkins. So it's again what you feel like, how much money you still have in your budget and who you're going to replace. Cole Palmer if you can't get to him and just pick the right guy from Chelsea to replace him. So that could be Sancho, Madueke or Nico. It doesn't matter so much as long as obviously you pick the right one. So the pressure is there, but otherwise, we would all get Salah, Haaland and Palmer in our team if it was that obvious and that easy.
It was easy. I gave you a draft last week. I just didn't go with
it. Did you give me a draft?
It didn't have Mbomo and it didn't have all of these other players that were really good. And I think
I would have... Yeah, because if I'd have gone with Palmer, I think what I would have ended up doing, looking back now, is I would have got the not having Mbomo fear, and I probably would have dropped Luis Diaz. And obviously last week, that would have paid off because he didn't return. But then I would have been going forward with no Liverpool attacker.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's always a compromise, isn't there? And at the moment, my compromise, I look at my team and I've covered Aston Villa by having Morgan Rodgers because I couldn't quite get Ollie Watkins. I've got the Arsenal double. And like I said, that could move around. I've got Liverpool covered with Luis Diaz. I haven't got Chelsea, but I'm not, obviously, easy to say that.
But the fixtures are difficult. They're
mixed. That's what I mean. Yeah, so with Chelsea, I was willing to go, it's okay, after these next couple, I don't think I'm going to be as bothered. The team I'm now worried about, because I did have Solanke in my team until... probably late on Friday night or maybe even early Saturday morning, and I went with Havertz because I had that little bit of extra budget, and now I'm looking at that going, maybe that was an error. But we all punt. I've explained why I brought in Havertz and Saka. We can't have them all, and it's just trying to cover off, and as you said, Sam, just move around where you can.
But the thing is, Kels, this week the decision to go for Havertz over Solanke made absolute sense because Arsenal had a much more attractive fixture.
And they've got Southampton at home.
And they've got Southampton
there.
Exactly. Yeah. So that decision made absolute sense. Now, the bigger question for a lot of managers is, well, how do you invest in Spurs? Well, actually, I think it's a really easy question because you don't have to afford Son. Like, at no point do we have to go, Sun? You don't even have to have Porro. You can, Mickey van der Ven's becoming a bit of a legend at the minute. You can go in for a 4.5 million defender. You can bench him if you don't want to play him. But the fixtures for Spurs coming up look good for both clean sheets, and he's got attacking threat in him. So you can take a million, and that's something I'm considering at the moment, is taking the million out of Pedro Porro and having Mickey van der Ven instead, because that enables so much else across the rest of my team. Now, last week I went Muniz to Solanke. That was my transfer. That went really well. I would like Brennan Johnson as well, but I need to find a little bit of budget to be able to upgrade some of my cheaper midfielders, because at the moment, like, I'm in a bit of a quandary, because Brennan Johnson, I think, will continue to be a fantastic pick. Now, obviously, Spurs have got Europa League action tonight, so we have to just make sure everyone makes it through that one without getting injured. And then it's Brighton at the weekend. Now, if Brighton perform like they did against Chelsea, that is exactly how Spurs will score multiple goals. But I'm not sure that they will. They'll have players back in this weekend. But looking ahead at the Spurs fixtures, you are going to want to invest. And you can go for a Brennan Johnson. You can go for a Kulusevski or a Maddison. Maddison's going to cost you a little bit more than the other two. But Brennan Johnson's still 6.4 million. So if you're struggling to get Solanke, you can get him. The issue is, who do you sell in the midfield? So what I ideally want to do is take some money out of other players to upgrade Harry Winks, which would then give me the budget to improve the rest of my squad and hopefully find the budget to go from Winks up to Brennan Johnson in a couple of weeks' time. But that's going to mean Porro down to van der Ven as a starter.
Okay, so what we're basically saying is try and cover off the big teams, maybe look a lot more with the fixtures at Arsenal and Spurs at the moment and potentially do the double up. And other than that, just hit and hope. And if you have a Cole Palmer week without Cole Palmer like me, then just ride it out, because hopefully Bukayo Saka is going to go and score 4 this weekend, because me and Sam have him and Jules doesn't. That's what I'm hoping.
That would be delightful, that would.
That would be amazing. I would retire here and then, here and now, sorry.
I thought you'd retire with the Cole Palmer choice anyway, you know.
Okay, then it is time for differential of the week. A reminder, a differential is under 10% owned. And we actually had a very good week this week. I say we. I'm trying to take some credit for it. It has nothing to do with me. Last week's differentials, Jules went for Jimenez, got 9 points penalty and picked up all three
bonus. Thank you very much. This is free for you people.
And also Sam Semenyo, 7 points. Jules, you had him. You've got Semenyo, haven't you?
Yeah, as well. Yeah.
Myself and Jules both getting those 7 points from Semenyo, and he looks brilliant value going forward as well. So a really nice pick. One person I'm pleased to have had on my wildcard, if I'm honest. Okay then, Jules, you just about won, so you can go first. Who are you going with this week?
Yeah, I guaranteed you, by the way. I just want to, repeat that. Guaranteed you that Raul Jimenez, hermano. Vamos, vamos, Mexico. Oh, he was going to return this time. And Sam mentioned his name, but Brennan Johnson for me, 1.7% ownership, which I think is really, really low. 6.4 million. He scored in 3 games in a row now, 2 in the Premier League, 1 in the League Cup against the mighty Coventry, of course. 11 points, 7 points, his last 2 returns in our game. And as we said, the fixtures, okay, Brighton away is not an easy game, of course, but there's no other top 6 clubs really until they play City. Is that right, Sam, or something like that?
Yeah, City in 12.
Yeah, City in 12. So good fixture list. He's full of confidence, which was not the case a few weeks ago. And you see his relationship with Kulusevski and with Solanke and the linker play with Maddison too, that is very much there. And he's still a young player that works a lot on confidence. So if there's a good moment to bring him in your team, it's now, I think, with the momentum he has.
Okay, very good pick. And I know Sam enjoyed that one as well.
I love that one.
You're going to be caught this week, because if Brennan Johnson returns, you're going to be celebrating, but then going, oh, it's giving Jules points in the differential game. Who have you gone with?
That's another reason I was annoyed about the Fulham game the other day. Not only was Robinson keeping a clean sheet, but Jimenez scored. I was like, oh, for goodness sake, and I had to wait for Monday
vamos,
night.
Vamos, vamos.
No, enough of you.
How do I say scored in Spanish? Que frío, que frío.
Oh, my goodness me. Actually, one of the differentials I had this week was Solanke, because he's still under 10% owned as well. But I won't go all in on Spurs.
What? You have to stop with those,
But I just said I won't go all in on Spurs. If you're going Johnson, I'll go different. So I'm going to go for Carvalho at Brentford, who's owned by 1.1% of the game. So a nice differential. He got an assist and a bonus point in game week 6. Played really well, actually, I thought. And In that game against a West Ham defence that haven't been great so far this season. In the last two game weeks, he's created three chances, and that's more than any other player at Brentford. One of those was classified as a big chance. He's also had a goal attempt, and he's supplied three crosses for his teammates. And with Mbomo playing the way that he is, I think that bodes well for some attacking returns for Carvalho. They play against Wolves this weekend. Now, Wolves have conceded 16 goals so far this season. That's the most in the league, and they're yet to keep a clean sheet. So I kind of feel like a Brentford goal, I'm about to curse them now, aren't I, by saying this, but it seems like it's pretty much nailed on, particularly as they've scored like in the opening minute of the last three, which is the first time that ever happened, by the way. So they're in good form. And I think, you know, the last couple of fixtures before the West Ham game at the weekend didn't really show that, because obviously they had defeats to Man City and Spurs, but actually they played well in both of those fixtures. So Carvalho, in Vissa's absence, I think continues to be a really nice option, and he's cheap as well, 4.8 million.
Okay, lovely. Best of luck with those this week as well. Transfers then, Jules, what are you going to be doing?
I don't know. I've got two free transfers, but I'm really happy.
But remember,
with
you don't
team.
Have to use them. You can bank them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and there's a lot of players at home. For example, Havertz is home. Haaland is home against Fulham. Nico Jackson is home against Forest. Havertz, we said, home against Southampton. Same if you have Saka. And Mbomo is home against Wolves as well. So even Rodgers plays against that small team, Manchester United, in crisis. So it's just like, yeah, I like it. So I'm tempted to roll on the transfer and have three next weekend to see if maybe. Then I bring a Solanke, then I change something in the front line or defensively.
Okay, makes a lot of sense, Sam.
I'm 0.1 away from being able to go Winks to Carvalho this week for a bit of a punt against Wolves, and I quite liked that, but I don't want to take a hit to free up 0.1. I could go Smith-Rowe down to Carvalho for the week. I can't afford to go Smith-Rowe up to Mbomo, which is what I'd really like to do. And I don't think I want to sell Jota. Again, I'm back in that same spot I was last week. The only way to get Mbomo really then is to sell Diogo Jota, and I don't really think I want to do that. So might go Smith-Rowe to Carvalho, might roll the transfer this week, because actually there's plenty of players that I'm quite happy to play from my bench this week. So it's possible that I maybe just roll it.
And captaincy, Jules? There's some good fixtures this week.
Yeah, some really good fixtures. I think, remember Erling Haaland against Fulham last season? I think it's a hat-trick and an assist or something crazy like that. So I fancy him far more this time. That he's not an early kickoff. He's not away at Newcastle. And yeah, I think this could be a pretty good weekend for City overall and for Erling Haaland. So probably be Haaland.
Yeah, I think the same for me. Although I look at my team and there's a fair few nice options. Sam, what about you?
Yeah, I also think that there's some really good options. I do still really like Saka at home. I'm tempted to leave the armband there with him. But I just, it's Haaland at home, isn't it? Like last week, it was the lunchtime kickoff. He was away from home. It felt like you could bat against it. This week, it kind of feels like we're probably back with the armband on Haaland again. It feels a bit risky to move it.
Yeah, I agree. I felt that last week though, and look what happened. I got a grand total of nothing. Anyway, yeah, it's different when he's at home though, isn't he? It's just taking me back to last week again. I started to get out of my system. Sam was making me feel better. I feel like that premium chat was like almost.
I hope I made you feel better as well. No?
No, you've made it worse.
What?
You've never done that in your entire life.
Cold.
It's your mission
that's
to make me sad.
You make everything worse for her this week. Like you've come here and just wound her up for an
hour. Do you really think you're going to come here today after?
No, of course I knew it. That's why I was saying it. It's been
quiet.
5 long days. Oh, and that's why I did that intro at the beginning of the podcast, because I wanted to say thank you to everyone who listened and not
great
thank
intro,
you to
by
you.
The way. One of your best intros ever, I think.
I don't have praise for my intro. I was trying to be nice to the listeners and say they made me feel a lot better while you were making me feel worse. That's where we're going to leave it anyway. Jules, also, by the way, I've just picked up my phone to check something and Jules tweeted however many minutes before we went out. I didn't see this before. I was like, why have my mentions gone nuts? Jules tweeted an hour ago. So we started this pod at 9. At 8:37, Jules tweeted a screen grab of his team with Mbomo and Havertz, who, by the way, I also had. Isn't it great, Kelly Summers, when the players you bring in your official FPL team return straight away? I have them too.
Yeah, I didn't say you didn't have them. I said that they were my transfers. I brought them in. They returned straight away. I'm just
Can I just point out other players in my team did return? It was just
I'm sure. I mean, the one you wanted obviously wasn't there, but he returned massively as well. So I was that was nothing to do.
Sorry, producer Jesse's on at me now. I've got to move on.
No, it was just
time to go. Haven't you got another podcast to do?
I was just sharing with you that my transfer worked out well. It's not nothing else.
Congratulations. I'm really, really happy.
Thank you. And well done. Well done for your game week six as well of 27 points.
Still better than week one of your wild card.
Sam. Oh, you two are a lot today.
As if it was ever going to be any different. Sam, thank you. You helped form the basis of our script. And I feel like actually a lot of it made me feel a lot better. And hopefully a lot of the people, as I said, there was a lot of people in the same boat as me this week, which has made me feel a lot better. And I'm sure they'll feel better knowing that their strategy, if it was vaguely along those lines, is probably right. And hopefully across the long term will pay off, because Jules knows it as well. A wildcard isn't just for 1 week. Yeah. That's where we'll leave it then. A reminder, your deadline is 11 a.m, 90 minutes ahead of Crystal Palace versus Liverpool, where I get the feeling Luis Diaz is going to go crazy. No returns for Jota, no returns for Salah. And I've heard that Cole Palmer's going to have a really quiet week as well. So it's all going to go well for the rest of us this week. Off the Bench is back on Monday to discuss Bukayo Saka's 4 goals against Southampton. Sam, you'll be on there alongside Az to talk through that. The Fantasy Show is back this Friday, where once again I'll probably get persuaded to do something and just do something ridiculous once again. Thank you as always for all of your interactions. If everyone that tweeted us something lovely this week left us a review, that would be lovely actually, because it would mean that people on Apple and other wherever you get your podcast from would hear just how great we are, and we'd get even more listeners. Thanks guys for being on the roller coaster with us as always this week, and we'll be back same time, same place next week. Oh no, a day early next week, because we're together in the studio.
But at least that wasn't this week, Kels. Yeah. At least you didn't have to see him in person.
Don't
this
worry.
Week.
I'll remind you next week as well what happened in game week six. Don't worry.
He'll probably come wearing a Cole Palmer shirt next week just to wind you up.
That's
don't
a great idea.
Right,
that's
we're going now, idea. Guys. Sam, I liked you
cold.
Until this point. If it's so cold, I'll let you go and warm up. See you later, guys. Bye, Jules. Lovely to see you.